Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. In Acts chapter 13, we are in a Sunday school series of things that every Christian needs to know. And we started off with some basic things, talking about a sufficiency of Scripture, the birthmarks of the believer. We talked about certain things that every Christian needs to know. When we've been building up more and more, where we're starting to talk more about what we should be doing. Every Christian has a job to do. And we now come to the book of Acts, chapter 13, and we find some of the responsibility that we are to be involved in. And notice with me in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts, chapter 13, and notice with me in verse 1. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 in verse number 2, notice this, "For the work whereunto I have called them." The work whereunto I have called them. And verse number 2, it is the Holy Ghost, the Lord, that is speaking unto them. And he is saying, I have a work for them to do. And with the Lord's help, we want to hit a Sunday school message here, dealing with the idea that the work of God is our mission. The work of God is our mission. In Acts chapter 13, we have the church of Antioch that had been praying, and they wanted to know what God would have them to do. And so they prayed and they fasted. They sought God's face, and God guided them. Remember, we spoke about that in a Sunday school series or lesson just a little bit before, that the Lord is our guide, that God can guide us exactly what we're supposed to do. He could guide us into exactly His perfect will. And in this case, He has pulled aside two people for a specific work that God wanted them to get accomplished. Notice, if you don't mind, we start off and we're understanding the men of the church. The men of the church. Here we understand that there are prophets and teachers in the church of Antioch. These are men that stood strong for God and proclaimed His word with boldness. They were involved in the work of the church. And these men that were prominent leaders, they needed, were needed in the church to get things done. And as they prayed, God looked from these people and said, I want Paul and I want Barnabas. I'm pulling these people out and I'm using them. We see, as we're still introducing this, the idea of the ministry of the church. Notice in verse number 2. And as they ministered to the Lord. Notice this. Often when we think of ministry, we don't think of it ministry unto the Lord. We think, well, it's something I need to get done. The word ministry, by the way, carries the idea of service, to serve. We recognize that when we work in the church, we're serving to God. So if a Sunday school teacher is teaching children, they're serving God by working in that class. When we go out soul winning, we are serving God by going out and passing out tracts and asking people the question, are they 100% sure if they die today, go to heaven? So we understand that these men, they were already working for God before God started pulling them. By the way, we employ the same thing here, that we pull out our Sunday school teachers and our workers and stuff from our soul winners. People who are already working for the Lord, God pulls them out and says, I want you to be this, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do this. That's why we say one of the greatest things you could do within the church is start off with soul winning. Start telling people about the Lord. And as you start serving God, that's where God starts pulling you and putting you in different things because you're already a soul winner. And so we see that already employed in the church of Antioch, that they were serving God and they put themselves at God's disposal and God pulled them aside. But now we come to the idea of the mission of the church. Now, what we're seeing here employed is going to be the idea of missionaries, and that the church is going to be supporting and encourage these missionaries to go out and do a work. Notice in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, once again, it says, "As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So God called them to do a work. Notice with me in Acts chapter 14 at the very end now. In Acts chapter 14, we know that Paul and Barnabas was sent out to do the work. In Acts chapter 14, they come back to the church of Antioch. And notice with me in verse number 26. Acts chapter 14 and verse 26. And it said, "And thence they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work," notice this, "which they fulfilled." So in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, God sent them out to do a work. And Acts chapter 14, verse 26, they came back to report about the work that was fulfilled. So somewhere between Acts chapter 13, verse 2, and Acts 14, verse 26, we must see somewhere the work that they did. Does that make sense? And so what we want to see here is, what is the work of God? The work of God is our mission. We're talking about the idea of what the missionaries that we send out to do are expected to do. Do you know there's a lot of things put under the guise of missions? A lot of things are said of missions. We had a lady once that came up and said, "I have a mission. My mission is to drive from church to church, and I live in my van, and I drive from church to church, and I come in, and I play the piano as well as I can, and I want people to come and support me so I could play the piano and drive in my van from church to church." Well, is that what missions is? We had one time a group of people that came in, and they said, "Can you support us? We like to go out and hold out signs protesting different things, and we want support." Is that what missionaries are? We heard once of a group that said, "It is our mission, we are missionaries to the bathrooms of America. And what we do is we go to the public bathrooms and we write on the walls and the stalls the gospel." And so somebody, while they're sitting in the stalls, instead of reading the junk, they could read the plan of salvation and how they could come to know the Lord. Well, is that what a missionary is supposed to do? You understand, there's a lot of things that are going out asking for support. There are a lot of things that are saying that they are missionaries, whether it's Clown for Christ or Weightlifters for the Lord or different other things going on. We have to know from the Bible what is expected from a missionary. What is expected from someone who says they're in the work of God? So we know in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "Here they were sent out to do a work." Acts chapter 14, verse 26, "They fulfilled the work." Well, if they fulfilled it, they needed to know what they were supposed to do. Does that make sense? So if you don't mind, I'd like to take some time from the book of Acts chapter 14, and I'd like to show you what is the work of God. What is the thing that a missionary, and not just a missionary, what is it that we are expected to do ourselves? If you don't mind, notice with me in Acts chapter number 14 and pick it up in verse number 21. And we could see here a biblical list of what the missionaries did from church to church. Here in verses 21 through 23, we see this passage of what they did everywhere they went. This is just wash, wash, lather, repent, repeat, over and over and over. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 21, "And when they preached the gospel to that city." All right, so if you're writing notes, this is something to write down. What is the first thing that a missionary is expected to do? What is the very first thing that is expected for someone who is in the work of God? First of all, when they preached the gospel in the city. The very first thing that a missionary is supposed to do when they get to a place is to win people to the Lord. How do you win someone to the Lord? Well, you have to explain to them the gospel. What does that mean? Well, they have to realize that, first of all, that they are a sinner. Then you have to explain to someone that because of their sin that they've offended a holy, righteous God. After that, you must explain to them that Jesus Christ died for them. And then lastly, they must personally accept Jesus Christ to be their Savior. So when we go out and we have someone who says they're a missionary, what is it that they're expected to do? We expect them to go out and preach the gospel to the place that they're sent. Does that make sense? That's the very first thing that you're supposed to do, is go out and preach the gospel. The second thing that we have here in verse 21, and when they preached the gospel to that city and had taught many. And had taught many. Here we come to the second idea, that they discipled them. Now, after they won them to the Lord, they didn't say, hey, good luck, you're saved, you'll be fine. But they took time to teach many. That means they discipled them. What is discipleship? Discipleship is developing the habit of obedience to Christ. That everything we do in the Christian life is habits. You get in the habit of going to church. You get in the habit of praying. You get in the habit of reading your Bible. You get in the habit of giving. You get in the habit of telling people about the Lord. And what discipleship does is it allows someone to go beside and help people develop those godly habits. It provides something special called accountability, which we'll get to in a second. So the first thing that the missionary is supposed to do when they're sent out, they get to an area, they're supposed to do what? Let's do this as a sing-along now. What's the first thing you're supposed to do? Preach the gospel. The second thing that they did is what? Discipleship. They taught many. All right? Sound pretty easy so far. We no misunderstandings about what they're expected to do, right? They are supposed to go tell people about the gospel. And then they're supposed to teach many. They're supposed to disciple them. Notice there's a third thing that a missionary is supposed to do inside of the work of God, that they start off by preaching the gospel, that they taught many. Notice with me in verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciple. Confirming the souls of the disciple. So here's the third thing. They're to confirm the souls of the disciples. What does that mean? This is where I want you to put the word accountability. Accountability. You understand, it is not enough just to give people religious information. You must go back and provide accountability to ensure that they're doing it. Does that make sense? It's almost like this. That let's say that someone wants to start going to the gym. Is it easier to go to the gym by yourself or easier to go with someone with you? With someone with you. Because there's going to be days you're not going to be motivated to go to the gym. And if you're by yourself, guess what? I'm not going. But if you have someone to go with you, then the days that you're not feeling good, they could go with you and say, hey, come on, you could do it. Let's go. And help you go, to provide that accountability, to make sure that you're not dropping something out. Well, when someone is in discipleship, the way that it should work is the discipler is working with the disciplee and saying, have you been reading your Bible? You know, there's something to it. Something simple as a question like this, have you been reading your Bible, motivates people to do it just because they know someone's going to check on them. Someone cares enough whether you read your Bible to ask you, how's your Bible reading? Someone cares enough to say, how's your prayer life? Are you seeing answers to prayer? Are you talking to God? Someone cares enough to say, hey, I haven't seen you in church lately. Are you all right? Is there something missing out? That's everything we do in the Christian life is habits, and you have to develop the habit. And the way to establish the habit is by accountability. Accountability. To double check that they are doing what they're supposed to do. Someone who goes through discipleship and does not have accountability, they're just given religious information, is going to be worse off than what they started. Because now they have this information that they're responsible for them, but they're disobedient to it now. Does that make sense? And that's not a way to establish a church. That when someone has accountability, what's going to happen is that they're going to have to make a decision to follow the Lord. Now, of course, there's always going to be people who have not decided to follow the Lord. But you know what's going to happen? The people that are left over are the people that have decided to follow the Lord. Does that make sense? May I give you a scary statistic? I've been involved personally in one-on-one discipleship for over 20 years. And every person who started discipleship, went through discipleship, and was obedient to it, 100% of them have strong families and are faithful in their churches. Some of them are pastors now. I think I have up to 7 deacons across the world or across the country that started off in discipleship with me. One-on-one discipleship. Now they're deacons. There are some that are pastoring now. Some that are missionaries. Others who are just faithful Sunday school teachers, faithful in their church. They're strong. Their pastor could count on them. That's pretty good. 100%. The other side is true. Every person who has started discipleship just with one lesson and were not obedient, did not go through it, balked, didn't memorize verses, didn't do all this stuff, 100% of them are either out of church or in watered down, weak, pathetic churches. 100% of them, their families are in trouble, if not completely fall apart. 100%. You say, what makes the difference? Here it is, that people make a decision to follow the Lord in discipleship. We all know people who could sit inside of a church for 30 years and never make a decision to follow the Lord. But here's how it works. If you have discipleship employed inside of a church, and 100% of the people that are there have decided to follow the Lord, doesn't that make a strong church moving forward? You don't have a weight dragging things behind. The church is going forward willingly and excitedly and pressing forward and seeing things accomplished. You see, it's necessary for the life of a church. Now, we're not just talking about American churches. We're talking about a missionary who is going off. And if they go off and they take someone and win them to the Lord and they disciple them and the person decides to follow Christ, that church is going to be strong moving forward. Because they have accountability, the people have made a decision to follow the Lord. So we start off. The very first thing that a missionary is supposed to do is what? Teach them. Teach the gospel to win them to the Lord. The second thing they're supposed to do is discipleship. They taught many. The third thing is confirm them to the Lord, which we use the word accountability. Confirm them to the Lord. Notice, if you don't mind, there's another thing in here. Notice in verse number 23. Confirming the souls of the saints and exhorting them. Now, when still talking about the idea of accountability, they confirm the souls of the saints and exhorting them to continue in the faith. So they're making a decision to follow the Lord, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So the people that are confirmed, we're letting them know, hey, you're going to have to continue and you're going to have to endure. As trials come up, you can't quit. You made a decision to follow the Lord. This is part of that accountability. This is a part of discipleship that's often neglected. We're not just giving them information. It's not giving them a book and say, all right, read this and you'll be all right. You have to provide the accountability. But the fourth thing is in the next verse, verse number 23. And when they ordained elders in every church. This carries the idea that they established pastors. So a missionary is supposed to go into an area, win people to the Lord, disciple them, provide accountability to them, and then from that people, they are to raise up a pastor, train them to be the pastor of that local church. Need to be training pastor. This needs to be a constant thing of training people to be the pastor of that local church. Why? Because in number 23, the fifth thing here, when they ordained elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. The word commend carries the idea of taking your hands off. So a missionary is to go and win people to the Lord. And out of the people he won to the Lord, he needs to disciple. As he's discipled, he provides accountability. And then he, from that group of people, he trains up a pastor to be a pastor of that local church. Then the missionary takes his hands off and says, God, I'm trusting you to take care of your church. It's not my church, it's your church. And then the missionary takes his hands off and goes somewhere else and does the same exact thing. The work of God is our mission. So this is what we expect missionaries to do, but wait. This isn't a job just for missionaries. This is what we are to be doing here. What are we supposed to be doing here? We're supposed to win people to the Lord. As we win them to the Lord, we are to disciple them. As we disciple them, we provide accountability. And from that people that we've trained from there, we train pastors and people full-time ministry. And we send them out to go do the very same thing. You see, this is how it's supposed to work. A church that is not training up people to be in the work of God is a church that's failing the work of God. The work of God is our mission. Now, what would happen if people took this personally within our local church? Let's say that someone decided they were going to take the Howard area and make that their mission field. And that they spent time soul winning within the Howard area. And from that Howard area, they began to disciple. And from that Howard area, they began to provide accountability. And from that Howard area, they prayed for preachers and they got trained and they sent out. And someone took the Ashwaubenon area. Someone took the Black Creek area. Someone took the Suamico area. Someone took the Bellevue area and made it their mission field. Wouldn't that be wonderful? This is what we should be involved in. The work of God is our mission. We are to be involved in the work of God. This isn't something that we pay preachers, missionaries, to go do across the field and we do nothing at home. Just as we expect them to go do that out there, this is what they are expecting us to do here. Five simple things. What are those five things? The very first thing that they are supposed to do is preach the gospel. The second thing, teach them, disciple them. After that, we confirm the firms of the souls of the saint, which is what word did I use? Good, accountability. After that, we are to ordain elders, to train people for the ministry, and then we commend them to the Lord. Send them out. What is this local church supposed to do? Win people to the Lord. Disciple them. As they're being discipled, provide accountability. Train up preachers. Send them out and take our hands off and do it again. Continually. Continually. This is what needs to be doing. The work of God is our mission. Does this mission statement here have anything to do with clowns for Christ? Weightlifters for the Lord? No. This is God's plan. And if we're going to keep things simple, this is what we're supposed to be involved in. This is the work of God. By the way, let me remind you that the work of God is not done within these four walls. The work of God is done outside of these walls. This is a training center, a recruiting center, a hospital that we train people, we heal people, we go work with them and send them out, and they do the work of God outside of these four walls. The work of God is our mission. Who's supposed to be involved with this? Everyone. Everyone. If you are saved, the work of God is your mission. If you're a member of this church, the work of God is our mission. Every single one of us have a place in this. And then as we send out missionaries, guess what we're going to expect the missionaries to do? This. So if a missionary comes up to me and says, or someone comes up and says, I want you to support us with missionary money. It's our job to clean up all the highways of Wisconsin. That we're going to go up and down all the streets of Wisconsin and pick up all the litter. Now, isn't that a good thing? But is it what God's given us to do? No. Remember that good is often the enemy of the best. That people are doing good things to the neglect of the best things. Are there secular organizations that can take care of the trash picking up? Yes. Is that what God has given us to do? No. The work of God is our mission. He has given us very clearly what we're supposed to do. And so anyone who comes up and says, can you give us mission money so we could go clean up the streets? My answer in a nice, polite way is going to be no. No. You understand? The things that we're doing is to help the work of God. Now you say, well, don't we support people who print Bibles? Yes. Do we do that with missions money? Yes. Yes. But why? Because missionaries, missionaries can't do their job without Bibles. You understand? Part of helping them to succeed is what God has given them to do. Does that make sense? So the work of God is our mission. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.